Immersive cultural enrichment on board and on shore. Freshly prepared regional cuisine. Viking sails the rivers of the world and takes travelers to the heart of iconic destinations. Discover more at viking.com.
Learn how to plan, invest, and live smarter with the Raymond James For What It's Worth podcast. Featuring insights from leading professionals, you'll get the latest in wealth management, market commentary, and engaging research. Listen today at raymondjames.com/podcast.
I'm Jace Laycobb, and you're listening to Masterpiece Studio. It's on a pleasant, sun-dappled afternoon carriage ride that we first meet Sophia Western's lady's maid, Honor Newton. Sophia and Honor ride through the English countryside on their way to Western House. The sounds of birds and forest fill the air.
Oh, I've missed this all so much. Listen, you can hear the birdsong.
They do very well on a plate.
You're such a Londoner.
I like my comforts, miss. I like my clean white linen. Ideas above my station.
Unlike Sophia, Honor is a city girl through and through. And although she's not quite at home in this rural setting, she still stands by Sophia, no matter the situation.
Honor, don't leave me. If I've been awful to you...
You haven't. Well, not much anyway.
Being nearly a decade older than Sophia, Honor has the gift of life experience. While Sophia navigates the whirlwind of a star-crossed love and her aunt's undesirable matchmaking attempts, Honor provides a more practical sage perspective, complete with her, trademark candor.
He'll write. Of course he will. But if he doesn't, it means he didn't love me after all. He never did, or he wouldn't have left me.
Exactly! Cheek of it! You, my poor, beggarly, bastardly fellow.
How dare you? He's an angel.
Actor Pearl Mackey joins the podcast to discuss how Honor manages to advise and support her friend and employer, Sophia, when that very same advice sometimes goes against the wishes of the heart. And this week we are joined by Tom Jones star Pearl Mackey. Welcome, Pearl.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I love Honor's introduction in the first episode of Tom Jones. She and Sophia are in the carriage, and Sophia's sort of waxing poetic about the songbirds in the countryside, and all Honor can say is, they do very well on a plate. She's just such a city girl at heart. What did you make of the character of Honor Newton?
Jace, I love that introduction as well. I thought it was hilarious. I'm a Londoner myself. So I was like, okay, immediately I was like, that's something I can definitely kind of relate to. But I mean, I think the characterization as a whole is sort of really not what I was expecting when I was first sort of presented with the script. I mean, I'd heard of the book, but I'd never read it myself. And sort of, you know, the typical kind of maid mistress relationship is really not what you find when I first sort of started reading the script. I feel like Honor and Sophia kind of leapt off the page kind of immediately as more like friends, more like, you know, the relationship you have with sort of an older sister or an older cousin or something like that. There's definitely like a familiarity there, which I think allows Honor to be honest about her feelings, which I think is brilliant and really leads to some like wonderfully frank remarks throughout the piece, especially, you know, the opening as well. And I found that really refreshing, actually. And I felt that it really gave her a voice within the storyline, even though, you know, obviously she is sort of a companion type to Sophia throughout her journey. I really felt like she was real and she really felt alive, which is, I think, kind of what I look for in any script, really. But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised.
I mean, I love that you mention her honesty, because it's that practicality that allows Sophia to sort of have her head in the clouds a lot of the time. And then Honor can sort of bring her back to earth with these sort of carefully aimed barbs. She can cross those kind of class lines in a way that most servants and mistresses can't, as you say. And she has this candor and honesty with Sophia that is as you say, it's really refreshing and different to find in a period drama. What did you make of that sort of candor, that outspokenness that she has?
I think talking to Georgia Paris, our wonderful director, and with Sophie, who plays Sophia, we kind of had some discussions quite early on about their relationship and about what it would be like. I feel like what we kind of decided was that they had sort of been together for a long time. And, you know, where Honor is obviously older than Sophia, they're both relatively young. So, you know, I feel like there's definitely an element of like growing up together and understanding each other. And I think that was really important for us to keep open and playful, as well as, you know, being able to deliver some home truths when necessary, whether they're listened to or not. I think, you know, Honor is definitely there going, okay, I understand. Yeah, I get it. You're in love. This is great. But like, let's be careful. You know, she's definitely gives a couple of warnings about Tom and things that she's heard as well.
You mentioned Honor's feelings about Tom Jones. I mean, she's initially firmly against Sophia giving her heart to Tom, who she describes as being a bad boy, though Sophia chalks that up to servants' gossip. How does Honor view Tom as a match for Sophia? Why is she so sort of against him?
I don't think it's necessarily that she's like against him as a match as such. I think she can see his charms and she can see that Sophia is clearly very enamored by him. I think it's just a word of warning of just being like, just be cautious. I've seen, you know, this kind of man in the world before. All of his intentions might not be wholly honorable. So I think it's kind of that kind of warning dynamic of just being like, just being cautious and just being like, I know this is the first time you're in love, but like men sometimes do this. And, you know, especially if he's, you know, gallivanting with many other women, then potentially this is what he says to all of them.
Tread carefully, my lady.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
What does Honor make of Sophia's line about Tom? He doesn't look at me as though I'm some kind of exotic flower. Does that strike a chord within Honor at all, that sense of belonging?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely. You know, Honor and Sophia are two Black women, A, within a period drama, which is marvelous. But also, you know, the way that Gwyneth has approached casting two Black women within those roles is that she's not shying away from the race and sort of pretending that it doesn't exist. She's very much going headfirst and explaining that Sophia was the daughter of an enslaved woman and a slave master, and sort of explores the racism that they would have experienced in that time. That's certainly something that I recognized reading the script as myself, that I think there's definitely a sort of exoticized quality to the way that people view Black women, not as much in our modern times, but I think, you know, looking at it throughout history, and especially in a period where, you know, as in, for all intents and purposes, in our world, Honor and Sophia are sort of the only Black women that we see. So, you know, especially in the countryside, people do seem to look at her like she's some kind of exotic creature and not actually appreciate her for who she is and for a person. It's sort of all, it's kind of a fantasy. It's reductive, but it is honest.
There is that stunning moment in the third episode when Honor removes all of the feathers and adornments from Sophia's costume.
Silly hair and lacing so tight I can't breathe.
I think I'm going to leave it there today, miss. Otherwise it'll take me forever to put back up in the morning. Now, about your face,
There's paint.
I might have to start using it all the way down, miss, if you're to look like all the other ladies.
No. Take it off. All of it.
What did you make of this very loaded moment between these two women of color in a period drama?
I mean, I thought it was actually a really, really bold move on the part of the, you know, production team and Gwyneth and Georgia. Because, you know, the fact of the matter was that the makeup at the time was white powder, white faces, very rouged cheeks. That was the look. Obviously, for Sophia moving into these circles, especially with Lady Bellaston, it feels horrible. And it feels really like she's trying to, Lady Bellaston's kind of trying to wrong foot her and sort of erase her identity as well within that, and sort of potentially erase the kind of exoticized idea of her that everyone seems to have. But I think that moment is really, really poignant for both of them. And it was for us as well when we were filming it. We were like, this is, it's not something that I've seen before. And it's not something that I've seen kind of tackled in a period drama with empathy and with sympathy from Honor's part. And she's like, I know I'm supposed to do this, but I want you to know that I don't want to do this. And I feel horrible even suggesting that that is what we have to do. I think even quite early on, you're sort of very aware that defying her, especially for Honor, is like, well, that's just, I'd just be out on the street. So I can't really do that. But I think as far as she can, I think she wants to show Sophia that she doesn't agree with this and that she feels her pain.
I mean, it is such a, to me, a powerful reclamation of Sophia's identity as a mixed race woman. There's such a sense of pride on the part of Honor when Sophia says, take it off, all of it.
Mm.
You know, what goes through Honor's head here? And as a woman of color yourself, what went through your own when filming this scene that is taking place centuries ago? I mean, it's such a landmark scene, I think, for period drama.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I mean, it's amazing. And I think actually it's one of the moments when Honor looks at Sophia less like a younger sister and more like she's grown up. That whole kind of reclaiming of herself and understanding that she doesn't need to try and be anything else for anyone else is something that Honor really recognizes. And I think as a maid as well, having potentially been in situations before she was with Sophia, who knows, that she did have to bite her tongue and, you know, and sort of isn't allowed to be herself completely. She really, really connects with that moment. And I think she feels overwhelmingly proud of her for doing that, because in a way, it's not something that Honor can do. She's not at any liberty to do that, to say to her, you should take this off, because, you know, that would end with, like, you know, her termination. And, you know, she would have no money, and that's just, it's her livelihood. And, you know, she probably knows better than that, to be honest. I think she's so unbelievably proud of her when she does that. And she's like, I think she knows that there's going to be hell to pay. But she's like, yes, girl, like, yes, come on, I'm here for you. And I'm really happy that you've done that and you found some strength in yourself to do that.
Tom is thrown out of Paradise Hall. Sophia hatches a plot to escape her marriage to the odious Blifil, and Honor's initially against the idea until Sophia says that they'll head to London. How does Honor balance wanting to go, but simultaneously feeling like Sophia shouldn't run away? But that it's like she wants to get back to the city, but she knows that maybe this isn't the best thing. How does she balance all of those conflicting motivations?
I think for her, it is a difficult one, because she is like, well, this is going to be dangerous. And, you know, I think Sophia has a very glorified idea of what's going to happen when she finds Tom. I don't think she's really thought through all of the realities of life. And so I think for her, she's definitely like, I don't think this is the best idea. But I think with the London thing, she is like, I do want to go back to London. But also, if that's where we're aiming for, then I kind of know it. I think she does feel there's a safety in going to London, because it's somewhere that she's familiar with. And, you know, maybe somewhere, if push comes to shove, that she might have a friend that might be able to help them out. But also, I think Sophia's pretty determined to go anyway. I definitely think she's made of strong stuff, Sophia. But I think, like I say, she doesn't know very much about the world. So I think she's like, well, you're definitely going to go, so I'm going to have to come with you.
I mean, she goes so far at one point to say to Sophia,
it's ruddy obvious what happened. He boasted about you. In a pub.
I'm sure he didn't mean to.
He scarpered without paying.
He has no money.
Look, you're throwing yourself away on a quarrelsome bastard who... take advantage of a hole in the carpet.
Well, you don't know him as I do.
I mean, how can Honor get away with being quite this outspoken with Sophia? And is this really what she thinks of Tom, or is she being perhaps a tad overdramatic here?
I think she is being a little bit melodramatic, but also I think she's kind of reaching the end of her tether here. You know, they've been through a fair amount already, and they're not even really that near London. And she's just like, I mean, come on now. And also she's cold and she's hungry and I mean, you know, from personal knowledge of walking around in sort of my costume shoes just one day when we were walking around in the mud, her feet are probably really wet. So I think, you know, those dresses, like, they gather the mud and they gather the water and they become heavier and heavier and colder and colder. So I think that she's just like, I just want to get somewhere warm and I think we should just go home because you're just being a bit stupid now.
Before this next question, a brief word from our sponsors.
All Veranda staterooms. Every day, a new view. Viking, offering a small ship experience on the world's oceans and a shore excursion in every port. Viking, exploring the world in comfort. Learn more at viking.com. Coming up next on Masterpiece on PBS, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office continues Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, followed by the finale of Alice and Jack at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central.
We talked about the fact that Honor is Sophia's lady's maid, but she also appears to spend a lot of her downtime as she wishes. She goes to the Black Swan. She visits Tom behind Sophia's back. I mean, she's a servant, but I'm curious what level of agency you think Honor has. How much does she influence Sophia, or is she just sort of along for the ride? Or is she driving the carriage a lot of this time?
Well, that's interesting. Whilst Honor is very opinionated and, you know, very much sort of says what she thinks, particularly to Sophia, and she, you know, has a lot of strong feelings about Tom and about them not going on the journey, I do think if she was kind of driving the carriage, as you so lovelily put it, I don't think they would have gone anywhere. At the end of the day, she is a maid and she does need her money. If she's cast out without anything, then it's not really many other options for a young working class woman in those times. You know, there wasn't really much else you could do, especially, you know, if you'd sort of, I'm sure word would spread quite quickly if you'd been let go from a house of high standing. So I think essentially that is her first port of call, though that's not really a very exciting answer.
But I mean, she is, we know she's the only lady's maid who can style Sophia's hair, for example. I mean, she's skilled at what she does. And it is this small detail that, to me, adds authenticity to both Sophia and Honor's sort of lived-in reality. And it is a skill that she would have brought to the dressing table, as it were, for lack of a better term. I mean, did you see those sort of details as offering truth to what would have been a very period-specific experience for a wealthy woman of color?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, I think ask any Black or mixed-race woman and they would have had experiences of, you know, doing your hair can be quite an arduous thing. And it's also something that you don't learn, you know, you learn when you're young, but it takes a while to be able to manage it as it grows. And it's not always easy. It can be really difficult. And I think, you know, the reality of that and of that dynamic being the key. Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of respect for that level of realism. I think that is definitely true. But then also, you know, I guess that does mean that essentially, whilst that skill is invaluable to Sophia, it's not potentially that valuable to that many other people. You know, I mean, obviously, in our world, as I say, Honor and Sophia are the only two women of color that we see. But, you know, maybe the reality was that there were many more. But I do wonder how many more there would be in higher stations and how many more would require a maid. So those skills might be sort of redundant for a bit if anything were to happen.
I mean, that's what I was going to say. I mean, she has this skill, but it does put her in this tenuous position where if she were to lose this by being too outspoken, by going against Lady Bellaston, as you say, she really doesn't have a lot of options. She has to walk this very fine line of sort of being true to Sophia and maybe pushing her lady to maybe do what's right, but also worrying about her own self and what this means should things go sideways for the both of them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think she does have to exercise a level of caution, but also she does, you know, I do think that she has a real moral conscience and she does, you know, she loves Sophia. She really cares about her and she wants She wants her to do what's right, but she also wants her to know about everything that's going on, because it's that protection thing. She just doesn't want her to be led up the garden path or to think that. I think she just really feels for her. So a lot of that kind of love and care drives her as well to do some things that maybe she wouldn't necessarily have done for anyone else.
We come now to my favorite scene in the entire run in episode 3. Honor goes to see Tom Jones to tell him the truth about her mucky ladyship, Lady Bellaston, while Lady Bellaston hides behind the screen in the room. It's, again, this delicious scene that sort of toes the line with French farce. How much fun was this sequence to shoot?
Oh, my God. This was so much fun. I mean, Hannah Waddingham is just hilarious anyway. And so wonderful and warm. And Solly is brilliant. Like, we had such a lovely time working together. But actually, we didn't have that many scenes together, really. So we just had such a brilliant time kind of working all of this out. And we were like, how is it going to be funniest? Like, how do we play this? How do we sort of, what about the positioning and all of that? And, you know, all of this, all the while actually being in a very, very, very tiny, tiny, very hot room with all of the lights, like upstairs in a kind of, you know, dilapidated old house in Belfast. It was just, it was so funny. And Hannah's face, I think, when the curtains pulled back, that was my worst nearly corpsing moment. It's just too funny.
There is one episode left of Tom Jones. What can you tease lies ahead for these star-crossed lovers and their friends and family?
Oh, my goodness. Gosh, it's... Oh, teasers. I always get so nervous about teasers. I don't want to ruin anything. Well, what is there to say? Well, I mean, you know, I mean, as with any kind of brilliant story, there's got to be a bit of a showdown. And I think everything's got to come out. And hopefully our two lovers end up together, but who knows? Do we even want them to at this point? Maybe we do. I don't know. I mean, it's all to play for, really. And it's there's a wonderful payoff. And I just really hope everyone enjoys it.
And what about for Honor? Might there be a happily ever after ending of sorts for our favorite lady's maid as well?
Well, I mean, I think she deserves it. So, you know, fingers crossed it plays out for her. I think there could be something nice in the future for her. I definitely think she's paid her dues. So fingers crossed something nice comes her way.
There's been a lot of debate lately about gatekeeping in period dramas and sci-fi dramas. You starred as Doctor's companion Bill Potts on Doctor Who. I mean, what do you think of the notion of gatekeeping, about whose stories get to be told by whom and who gets to watch them or call themselves fans?
I mean, I think that's a really interesting notion, isn't it? Because I think to a certain extent, we can't really argue that the representation behind the camera and the people who get to tell the stories are not predominantly people of color. Looking at my experiences in the TV industry, I would say that it has changed a lot. You know, even since I got Doctor Who, it's changed a lot, I think. And I do think there is, you know, a real way to go. I don't think behind the scenes things are as diverse as they should be. I don't think in front of the camera things are as diverse as they should be, but that we are definitely progressing much faster in. And yeah, I mean, I think I can completely empathize with that. It's difficult, isn't it? Because we want the stories to be told, but we want them to be told accurately and honestly and from the perspective of people like us. So I can completely understand where people are coming from. But then the difficulty is that if that representation isn't there right now, does that mean we put a hold on those stories until the representation is there? I don't know. It's a difficult question. I think for me, I would obviously rather that we, when we're telling stories about Black people, when we're telling stories about people of color, diverse individuals and diverse nations, that we definitely have some consultation from members of that community. I think that's probably a good place to start in terms of script supervisors, script consultants, that kind of thing. And also, you know, within production teams and within the whole sort of cast and crew. I do think there's mileage for people not just hiring the people that they hire all the time, because, you know, there are Black writers out there. There are Black writers who are wanting to write sci-fi, you know. There's so many writers and there's so many storytellers out there that I think the gatekeepers, as it were, could definitely do better looking around for people to tell those stories, because they do exist. I think we can definitely do better, but I think it is an interesting debate, isn't it?
you're an actor, a singer, producer. You're a true sort of multi-hyphenate. Was there a formative experience that made you want to be a professional actor?
I kind of always wanted to be an actor, sort of for as long as I can remember, really. I used to watch a lot of sort of old 1940s films with my mum when she was doing my hair on a Sunday night. We watched Meet Me in St. Louis a lot, and that was as one of my favourite films. And Judy Garland singing the trolley song, I remember being like quite overwhelmed with how she was telling this story, but she sort of steps out of the first person narrative to tell her story to the audience and to her audience on this trolley. But she's also living it at the same time, and you kind of were going with her. And I was just like quite bowled over by that. And I just remember feeling like I felt so emotional for her. And then, you know, when he gets on, it's so, you're so like, oh my God, this is crazy. But, you know, you really want it to go well. And she's just taking you on such a journey that I was like, I mean, if I can make people feel like a fraction of that, then that is what I would like to do.
I mean, you were cast as the first openly gay companion, Bill Potts, opposite yes. Peter Capaldi's 12th Doctor. I mean, to me, Bill sort of represented the most down-to-earth regular companion on Doctor Who in a very long time. She's a working-class girl who also happens to be Black and queer.
Yeah.
Was it significant to you that that didn't feel groundbreaking, but that her identity was just sort of presented matter-of-factly?
Totally. Yeah, that was one of the things that drew me to the script. When I first read the script, I remember being like, I feel like I know her. And I feel like the way that she is told and the way that the character has been created is so realistic. And, you know, I was like, I really wouldn't have felt comfortable with her sort of grappling with her sexuality or having to come out to the doctor at a certain point because, you know, I mean, obviously that's part of everyone's journey, part has been part of mine. It's something that is very important, but I don't think that representation would have been useful in this show. And I think I really loved that Bill was just like, I am who I am. I'm gay, I'm Black, but I am me. And I really loved that.
Honor is extremely outspoken, rather humorously so. Bill asked questions that no one else would. Is there a part of you that admires that frankness of these two?
Yeah, I think there's a part of me in that frankness as well, to be honest. I think I probably got a little bit better at tempering that, but I think it's definitely something I respect in people as well. Just being like, why not? Let's just see what happens. Let's just ask the question that no one would. And because I think often if you do in some situations, you know, as long as it's not rude or offensive or makes anyone uncomfortable, I think sometimes that's the way you can connect with people the most, you know? And you can sort of, if you're, you know, you're sitting next to someone at dinner that you don't really know, and all you talk about is like the weather and, you know, how lovely the food is, then, you know, I do think there is something about, you know, being honest and asking questions that kind of dig deeper that create a human connection. I mean, I think that's kind of what we're all looking for, really, isn't it?
So we're going to ask a very honest question now, and yes. I want a very honest answer.
Okay, go for it.
True or false, Waterloo Bridge is your favorite London bridge?
True. Yes, it is. Yes, I love Waterloo Bridge. It has the best views on both sides, in my humble opinion. Westminster Bridge is too near the Houses of Parliament because all you can still see is the Houses of Parliament. And then on the other side, everything else is sort of too far away. But Waterloo Bridge, you look over and you can see all of the Houses of Parliament. You can see it sort of sparkling. You can see Big Ben. You can see the river. You can see going down towards Battersea. And then on the other side, you can see, you know, Waterloo Bridge. You're crossing over to the National, which is, you know, obviously amazing. And then you've got like St. Paul's and stuff further down. And yeah, it's my favorite. It's the best one.
Give me Hammersmith or when it's open, when it's finally open again, or Millennium Bridge. Those are my bridges.
Oh, yeah, Millennium Bridge is good. Yeah. Hammersmith is just way too far west, though, mate. You're missing all the east stuff.
I know. I mean, at this point in your career, you've seemingly done everything. Period drama, sci-fi, thrillers, crime drama, comedy, stage, screen, television, movies, all of it. I mean, are you just constantly in pursuit of new challenges? Is that what motivates you as an actor?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I'm like that as a person. I love to be challenged. One of the great joys of being an actor is that you get to explore different people and different people's ways of life and all of these different professions that you never actually, you know, you don't actually have to train to be a police officer, but you can like learn lots about it and kind of explore what that's like for, you know, 3 months. I don't think I'd ever sort of like to just do kind of one genre forevermore or kind of, I don't know. I mean, I think there's sort of interest in, you know, long running shows, I think, because you have character arcs and there's different kind of situations coming in that can sort of be a challenge kind of in its own way. But yeah, I mean, I like to mix it up. I think, you know, I think there's still a couple of genres that I haven't done yet. So we'll see what happens next.
We'll see what happens next. Pearl Mackey, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Jace. It was absolutely lovely talking to you.
Next time, Tom Jones's world gets increasingly complicated as our lovelorn hero continues to wrestle with right and wrong.
I can't do this. It's not true. It's wrong. It's ugly.
Finish the job.
Come back to hear from Tom Jones himself as Sally McLeod joins us next week, Sunday, May 21st, to tie up the story of Tom Jones's misadventures. Masterpiece Studio is hosted by me, Jace Lacob, produced by Jack Pombriant, and edited by Robin Bissett. Alishaba Itoop is our sound designer. The executive producer for Masterpiece is Suzanne Simpson. Sponsors for Masterpiece on PBS are Viking Cruises, Raymond James, and the Masterpiece Trust.